Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Another wave of Iranian missile attacks on Israel has begun. Buildings near Tel Aviv were hit earlier. CBS's Olivia Gussis on comments by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
He was very careful to specify that the targets that the Israelis have gone after thus far were military in nature, were nuclear scientists related to the nuclear program. Although there are reports of civilian casualties, there have been no civilian targets thus far that we are aware of involved in the Israelis' campaign.
Retired U.S. Army General Randy Manner.
No one benefits from having aviation and shipping interrupted by war. And therefore, it is in the best interests of all that this be de-escalated as quickly as possible.
CBS's Jason Brooks.
Stocks slumped while the price of crude soared to its highest level since January on concerns that global oil supplies could be impacted by the Middle East fighting.
CBS News special report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Republicans have approved an increase in funding for Wisconsin schools at a fraction of what the governor asked for. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Republicans' plan increases school funding by about $330 million, but school districts will see no increase in general aid. Instead, that money goes to specific programs meant for special education and mental health. State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
The governor's budget is always reckless spending that the state can't afford, and so we're choosing to make key investments and priorities, and these investments today will be some of the largest. They'll be the largest investments you'll see in the budget. I don't think we'll get to another agency where we'll put that level of funding in because it is a priority, but you have to be able to afford it.
Statewide, about 15% of students have individualized education plans, meaning they have some sort of special needs. Right now, for every dollar spent on special education, the state only pays about 31 cents. That's one of the lowest reimbursement rates in the nation. The governor's plan would have raised it to 60 cents. Republicans' proposal they approved last night increases special ed reimbursement from about 31 cents on the dollar to 37.5 cents. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it would increase reimbursement to 90% next year for kids with the highest level of needs. That's 3% of students in Wisconsin public schools. Republicans hope adding money for these programs will take some pressure off the rest of school districts' budgets. Meanwhile, leaders on the Joint Finance Committee also finalized tax cuts, a key priority for Republicans, by about $1.3 billion for Wisconsinites. Those cuts will apply to retirees and folks in the second lowest tax bracket. Of course, this proposal would need the governor's signature. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers battle the Cards.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. Game two of the four-game series tonight as the crew hosts the Cardinals. Milwaukee with a 6-0 win last night thanks to the debut of 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski on the mound who lasted until the sixth before battling leg cramps.
Of course, I don't want to leave like that. I feel like I could have kept going, but, you know, cramped up and stuff happens.
Manager Pat Murphy.
I think it just came on in between innings there. He had that long inning. He thought it was okay. He went out there. It's in his thigh and in his calf and he twisted his ankle a little bit on that. Started to lock up on him. We just didn't want to chance anything, you know.
NFL Packers minicamp wrapping up in Green Bay.
The thing that's most positive, I would say, for the most part, we had pretty good attendance. We had the majority of our guys here for the duration. And I think that it's been fun to kind of watch how these guys grow, especially guys maybe going in their second year. They're so much further along than they were a year ago.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, few showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 50 to the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, high in the low 70s, and a couple of storms popping up. Mid-70s Sunday, isolated storms. It's 55 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll talk with Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch about the weekend headlines and also check in with Clean Wisconsin on Pollinator Month. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with me. Joining me on this overcast, downright chilly, Wisconsin evening. I hope it's nicer where you are, but down here in our, over here, out here, up here in downtown Green Bay, it is blustery. And we got to muscle through tonight. Hopefully it'll be nicer this weekend for Father's Day. Happy Father's Day ahead of time to all the dads out there that might be listening. It's an important job and at times thankless, but keeping the faith, folks. Dad's tip of the hat. Conrad is riding shotgun as usual. Do you have a nice Father's Day message for your dad, Conrad?
I do. Yeah. And he's not really the Facebook type of person, but I'm sure my mom will show him.
I'm sure he has good qualities too, though.
Yeah, the Facebook thing is understandable, but
yeah.
So my mom, I think, well, we'll show him. Okay. You know, whenever the message goes out, yeah.
But he listens. He texts the show, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying, whenever Amanda posts that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So we had some fun in the studio today, didn't we?
We did. We had Todd Alba was here.
Yeah.
It was fun to be a guest on Todd's show. We have him on Nightlight quite a bit, and he's had me on several times. I always enjoy hanging out with Todd. And, yeah, you were here. You produced that show, too, or helped produce it, I suppose.
They started the show with having Mino and the Mayor.
Really?
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock?
Yep.
What were those guys still doing here?
They went home, and then they came back.
Oh, to be a guest on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were like loitering or something. I don't. That's kind of
they're waiting
fun.
For the showers to open.
and we've got more stuff going on. We've got it's a new Wisco weekend, like they all are. Lisa Hale hosts and does a great job with new Wisco weekend. I have a classic movie pick. Do you have anything in the show this weekend?
Not this week, but I'm hoping next week to have an interview. But I'm going to keep that under wraps.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Good luck. And I have a classic movie pick, which I'm very excited about. I sort of have a Flag Day. Well, the whole episode has a Flag Day theme, and I picked a movie that I think kind of plays along with Flag Day. I like to do that whenever I can. And Kristen Lyerly show is on. I think I'm on that show this weekend, right?
Isn't you are.
Yeah. So Kristen and I will have fun. Check into Dr. Kristen Lyerly's talker, if you will, this weekend. You have two chances to listen on Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. Kristen does a great job. So, and we've got a fun show tonight. We've got a lot to get to, as usual. Friday is jam-packed. Starting us off at 6:35, actress and horror film fan, UP actress, I should say, Stephanie Gurnall will be joining us here over the stream at 6:35. She's going to talk about a couple movies she's working on currently and that will be out soon. So we'll talk to Stephanie. She makes it all happen from Upper Michigan. I don't know. That's got to be... You know, I think we had a comedian, Jessica Phillips, on the show months ago, and I did a gig with Jessica, who lives in Houghton, Michigan. And folks, if you're a stand-up comedian, or in Stephanie's case, an actress, there is some driving and some travel involved. And those are very remote places. Stephanie is based out of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Beautiful area. But man, that adds some challenges to a career as a working actress. But Stephanie will be here to tell us all about it at 6:35, as well as two new cool horror films she's in that will be out soon. And then at 7:05, comedian Steve Hofstetter will join us for a bit. Steve is a very funny guy, very hardworking comedian, and I really enjoy his comedy. He did a dry bar special. He's been on Fox Sports. I think he's won a Nobel Peace Prize, if I got that right, for comedy charity work. It's a very specific category, but what a cool thing. You ever won a Nobel Peace Prize, Conrad?
In my previous life.
Yeah. Prove it.
Well, I don't know if I can.
I don't believe. No, he's nominated. Okay, Steve was nominated. Oh, never mind. Nominated. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd take a nomination for anything. But Steve will be here at 7:05. He's performing in Appleton this weekend. So we'll get the details. And as I understand it, there are still a few seats open, but not many, because Steve packs them in. So he'll be here at 7:05. And then it is a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr is still on vacation. I think she is into maternity leave time at this point, but she is, this is her third Friday. She will not be with us. We miss Terry desperately, but her vacation is well-earned, and filling in like he did the last couple weeks will be Rocker, her Max Inc. radio co-host. And Rocker's always fun to talk to as well on a Bar Band Friday night. So there you go. That's a show. Let's not waste any more time, Conrad. Let's get to the question of the night, shall we?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
In honor of Father's Day, who is the best movie or TV dad? You can say who you'd want to be your dad, or who you think was the best out of the dads you saw. Obviously, your own fathers are most likely irreplaceable, but if you had to, in honor of Father's Day, who is the best movie or TV dad? I think, it's weird. I usually give the question some thought. I really didn't tonight, so I'm going to kind of ruminate a little bit on this. I have a couple that come to mind, but we put the question out there. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy. We're on statewide, so just click any of the stations. Are there Brewer games on tonight, Conrad? Are we preempted in any of the smaller markets?
I believe so.
Do we know which ones? Let's go to the Google, because I would love to hear from people on the app. But if you're watching on the stream, hey, that's fun too, folks. You can watch the radio. I'm wearing a really spiffy shirt tonight. I got my eyeglasses on, and I did not shave. So
I like it.
Yeah. Remember the should Pete grow a beard question? I'm almost in that territory right now.
Oh.
But I don't think I'm going to.
You know,
I'm not gonna do that. I can't compete with Todd Michaels.
My old razor broke, and it had a good length. It was.
What do you mean, your razor?
The electric razor. My electric razor broke. You know, and it was getting to that time. Like it would take me about. I mean, you've seen me with a little more facial hair.
Yeah.
And you don't think that'd take long to shave, right?
Right.
it almost took an hour with that thing.
It does with that old weed whacker.
So I spent a little change and I bought a new one. And it took me 10 minutes.
Why 10 minutes? That's a long time, right?
Not really.
For you use an electric razor and it takes you 10 minutes?
Before, it took me an hour.
To shave your face?
That's how bad it was.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And now it only takes me about 10 minutes to get that really clean shave.
I got to be honest. I've never tried one of those.
Oh, my dad showed me. Well, he let me use his, you know. When I started growing facial hair.
Yeah.
I liked that way better than actually using a regular razor.
Interesting. I've always done the wet shave.
Really?
Always. And it takes me about 3 minutes to put shaving cream on and go to town. And I don't, that surprises me, even 10 minutes. That's because I thought about making the switch because it seemed easier and faster, but not according to what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'd say give it a try.
All right.
Because
I'll be over after the show. I'd like to borrow your...
No, you don't.
It's very personal.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, okay. That's a nice dad moment, though, speaking of Father's Day.
Yes.
I remember I taught my son Joe to shave, and we have a picture of him holding the razor, and it was a very monumentous occasion in our house. That was fun. I don't know that my dad ever taught me to shave. He's very handy. He's rewired things. He's moved walls around in our house, but he never taught me any of that stuff. And he never taught me how to shave. I think I had to ask the neighbor to play catch. You know what? Come to think of it, I'm not really a fan of my father.
Wow. All right.
He's a good guy. He's got his good qualities. He did. I got none of his handy genes though. And he never forced me to do it. And frankly, if he had, I would have probably resented him. So,
you know what? One of the genes I didn't get from my dad was my dad relaxes from work by cleaning.
Oh dear.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate cleaning.
I don't mind it when I put on headphones or I'll put some YouTube videos on, and I like to do it before I relax. I don't think I did either.
Oh no.
I was already living with my wife at the time, and she'd be like, "You expect me to clean all this?" And I'm like, "No, I don't. It just doesn't bother me. Have a seat. Let's watch some color television. We'll clean it when we're ready." I don't know.
Yeah. Those dishes don't bother me right now. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. But I've changed. I've evolved, as they say. So that is our question, folks. In honor of Father's Day, who was the best movie or TV dad? Let us know. You can let us know on the stream. If you happen to be watching the radio, you can check us out on YouTube, X, Twitter, or Facebook. So be good to have you. Please chime in. We've got some great some comments we'll get to in just a minute. I want you to tell the story that you had today. You had an issue at a gas station with two old coots, and I've had similar. Here, I'm going to tell you how I handled it when I was your age and how I handle it now. So you go tell me what happened, because this is a good story.
Well, I had to go to Quick Trip.
You didn't have to.
As usual.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get gas so I didn't have to do it tomorrow morning when I was driving to Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I pay inside, because I had some cash, and I opened the door for these two ladies behind me. One was a little older. One I probably was her daughter.
Okay.
And they're waiting by the door, and I'm like, all right, I'll hold the door open for them. So I open the door. They don't even look at me. They walk right past. They don't even say thank you. So I close the door, and I just shake my head.
You gave them the head shake.
Just walk into my car. I was like,
what? What else can you do?
How hard is it to say, hey, thank you?
Right. Some people think they're owed it. And what can you do? They're two old women. What do you, you can give, the head shake is about all you can do. You can't leg sweep them. You know, you can't, you know, give them a, it's just, I feel like some people feel like they're entitled to that. Like, well, I'm old, or I have a disability, or I'm just a jerk. Some people walk through like you're there to hold the door for them. I will say, when I was your age, it used to bother me more than it does now. I had an epiphany at one point where I was like, I'm not holding the door open for praise. I'm doing it because I want to be that kind of person that just tries to make someone's life that little bit much easier. But I say that, and there's been times I wanted to get people in a headlock.
I was just trying to be nice. All right. It's okay to be just a simple thank you. You're like, all right, you're welcome.
I don't know. Maybe they both thought the other was going to do it. Neither one of them did. hey, we've got some texts I want to get to from last night's show. I always try to I try not to miss any texts, but we've had a couple here, and we were outside last night. Things got out of hand with the Papa Murphy's pizzas we were cooking on the grill. They were dynamite. Check out the chicken thigh. I think it was the chicken thigh pizza that was the best. So we had where are my texts here, Conrad? What am I looking for here? We've got...
Well, when we were outside last night...
Yeah.
Steady Eddie chimed in a little too late.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I got it.
When we were already outside, it's kind of hard to...
I don't know if we would have got to that. It came in at 7:57. That's cutting close.
Exactly.
Especially for the length, typically. The thought that Steady Eddie puts into his texts. He says, Pete, back in the day, late 60s, Tiny Tim became cultural TV and musical... A musical sensation, taking the 1925 song Tiptoe Through the Tulips to number 17 on the top 40 charts. Great memory, Steady Eddie. He got married on Johnny Carson's show. Tiny Tim was a strange-looking man with a high and annoying singing voice. A strange man with little talent or creativity. So what I'm really saying, Pete, is that I still have a chance to be a cultural icon and bring home some serious cash. Steady Eddie, Tiny Tim died on stage in 1996. That's a great text. All right, we'll read Bud from Janesville's text that we got overnight. And I'm going to tell you folks what movie set had the most cocaine in the 80s. It might surprise you. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All my instincts, they return.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome in to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball here. It's the Rafters pregame show on WFHR. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have a great pregame show lined up for you. As always, love getting a chance to talk to all the guys and, of course, break down the game so that you are ready to go for first pitch. First pitch scheduled for 6:35. We got just about 14 minutes. It was a little wet earlier today, had the tarp on the field, but no delays today, as thankfully it was able to come off the field a little bit ago, and well, all the guys getting ready and warmed up, so we're starting the pregame show on time, getting ready to roll as the Rafters look to get back on the right track. They dropped their first game in the last four last night, and it was not a game to remember. 21-7 was the final score. Ended in the middle of the fifth inning due to inclement weather, but it was considered a complete game as the Rafters did have five chances at the plate. But it wasn't without their highlights. Noah Ruiz, he stayed hot. He had a two-run home run in the second inning. Along with that, you, of course, saw Spencer Davis go 2-for-2 from the plate. And, man, the offense was clicking. It was clicking those first three innings, but I think the lead eventually got to them and took their momentum away as they just could not handle the Wausau offense. 21 runs in four innings of work. I mean, that is incredible stuff right there. The Rafters pitching today is going to be anchored by Seth Spencer, who has yet to allow an earned run this season. So it's the immovable object, Seth Spencer, versus the unstoppable force, and that being the Wausau offense. It's an exciting matchup here. The Rafters hoping to keep that momentum that they previously had, their three-game road win streak, into last night. They're hoping to bring that magic back today. Pre-game show coming up, we get a chance to talk to Tom Ziglowski for the second time this season as our pregame guest, and, well, it's the first time we've had a repeat pregame interview, and well, Ziggy, of course, as many of you know him, Ziggy, he's always a great guy to talk to, always has a lot to say about this team. And, well, after last night, you know, there's a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions, but I think spirits are still pretty high. Rafters, they've been looking a lot better as of late. And as I mentioned, the offense still looked pretty good last night. They're hoping to keep that rolling into tonight here at Winterfield. Quick break, and when we come back, we'll have that pregame interview, and then we'll take a look at starting lineups and the starting pitcher matchup when we come back here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me for the second time this season, it's Ziggy, Tom Zaglowski. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me back on, Austin. Thank you.
Well, of course, glad to have you on the show, and hopefully we'll be bringing you on a little bit more often throughout the season. Was hoping to come back into some better conditions after a three-game win streak. Last night didn't go the way, but you know what? You had a bunch of wins in a row prior to that point, so I think spirits are still pretty high, right?
Yes, the locker room's still there. These guys are bonded. I don't think a rainy day is gonna, you know, break them. So I think we're all good.
Yeah, literal rainy day in that sense. You know, before the game, it was like the rain started coming down during batting practice, and everyone knew it was going to be a tough one to go through. But I want to focus a little bit more on the three-game win streak prior to that point, because I think that's when this team started to take a turnaround. It really looked like that offense started clicking. What have you seen from the guys, especially since that win streak kind of started?
It's a numbers thing. I see them feeling comfortable with each other, knowing that they don't have to put so much on their shoulders. I've been saying it from day one. They need to weather a storm because we have backup coming. The guys are here now, and you can see the smile on their faces. Like, that's what you're talking about, Coach.
Yeah, a lot of good performances from some of the newcomers. I think Spencer Davis has been a huge part, and recently as well, Eric Parker, who just joined the team. I mean, both of them have been making huge impacts on this team. Kind of talk about those guys for a second.
You just named two players in total different leagues, from a D1 drafted athlete to an NAIA player. You know, that's what's so exciting about being out here in the Northwoods is ball players are going to ball. That's what's so fun to watch Spencer ball out and then watch Eric come in and continue. Like, that's, for me, building this thing, that's very cool to see.
Yeah, and kind of getting an update on the team right now. A couple of injuries early in the season. Seems like a couple guys coming back and getting ready to go. And then, of course, today as well, we have Gunnar Myro coming in. What does it kind of look like from your perspective when it's trying to make sense of all of the movement and trying to kind of make sure that the lineups and the rosters are all set correctly?
If you've noticed, we've probably had a different lineup each game. And it's just trying to get these guys playtime. They're portal kids. They're kids trying to go back and make their ball club as a junior and need some playtime. And if, for me as a coach, that's an environment that I'm trying to offer to these kids is playtime and putting up numbers. You know, I think right now with injuries, like, playtime's there more often than what it may be if we had a bigger rotation.
Yeah. And, well, you know, you look at the season in total. We've had a little bit of a sample size now that we kind of get to see, you know, who are going to be key players here. From this start of the season, you know, you came in probably with your expectations of guys that were going to be here that were going to play well and other guys that might sit to the back. Is there anyone that you thought maybe wasn't going to be part of the rotation but has really proved themselves here and impressed you with the way that they've played?
Nick Adrian.
Nick Adrian.
He's had some tough at-bats that don't show hits, that don't show knocks, but he's putting at-bats together. He's catching bullpens. He's in every game. He's learning how to pitch call a lot better, you know, a lot better than what he started with. And then there's a guy, Noah Ruiz, that's lighting up the league. You know, I think he leads in RBIs, and it's not an elephant in a room. It's no joke. Like, the kid can ball.
Yeah, a lot of players especially have been kind of coming alive like Noah Ruiz. And I think he's kind of a gel guy as well. You know, you look at the locker room and he's always kind of going around smiling and hyping everyone up. I mean, what is it like to have a guy like him who's not only just a great locker room presence, but also he's performing well on the field?
Exactly a vision that I had. Like, that's a player that I would pick up tomorrow, that I pick up yesterday. Like, if you don't have Noah Ruiz on your lineup, you're missing out on something.
Well, is there anything else that you want to add? That's kind of all the questions I got for you.
Rafters are here, and we appreciate the community, appreciate all the support that you guys give us. We're going to continue putting in the work to bring home a championship.
All right. Well, excited to get to see tonight's game. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Austin.
All right. That's going to do it for our pregame interview here on WFHR. A quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more for you live from Witter Field with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show.
Summer is here, and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
Make a splash this summer on your brand new jet ski. It's Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa's Ride the Wave giveaway. Earn entries now to have a chance to win not one, but two Kawasaki jet skis on June 28th. Also, multiple winners of cash prizes of up to $1,000. On weekends, it's Summer Night Rewards. Receive $25 in free rewards play. And on Sundays, spin the Sunny Money Wheel to win up to $500 in cash. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Must be 21. See Ho-Chunk Gaming representative for more details.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Oh, yeah, it's time for Rafters baseball here as we bring you back into Witter Field as we prepare for first pitch, national anthem over, and we are ready to go. 6:35 p.m. first pitch, and it seems like we are just about ready to get things rolling along. Seth Spencer, he is on the mound for the Rafters. The left-hander, as I mentioned earlier, has yet to allow an earned run this year. He's got two separate appearances on the season as well, so it's not just one outing that he had. He's had two outings without an earned run, and his last time up, he went four innings against the Green Bay Rockers, allowed the three walks and two hits while striking out five. So he had as many strikeouts as he had batters reaching base across four innings. It was a great performance from him, and that's after that first performance where he still limited the hits, although he walked a lot more batters, hoping to continue bringing in the control, limiting base runners this game. But when he does have those base runners, he's been good at keeping them where they're at, and that's going to be important against the Woodchucks in the way that their lineup looks today. It's very similar to yesterday. Ryan Pruitt leads off with Dylan Schlotterbeck behind him. Ethan Guerra bats third with Aiden Harris batting cleanup. Anthony Quigley is in the five hole with Cale Baldridge batting sixth. Noah Malone bats seventh with Max Solis behind him at eighth. And in the nine hole, it's, of course, one of the best in the Northwoods League, Christian Smith-Johnson. As for the Rafters, they're going to be going up against Mason Morello. And Morello, a right-hander from New York University, where he pitched for the D3 College with a 3.68 ERA this past season, going 36 innings. To start off the year here for the Woodchucks, he's been coming out of the bullpen. Got three appearances on the season, all from the pen in relief, and just a 1.5 ERA. Rafters led off by Eric Parker with Mason Onati batting second. Ashton Zacher bats third with Noah Ruiz behind him in the cleanup spot. First time batting cleanup this year. Batting fifth, it's Cameron Douglas. Sixth is Madden Akko. Batting seventh, it's Gunnar Myro. And eighth, Nick Adrian. Before batting ninth, it's Chris Diaz. We are almost ready to go. It's a 60-degree Fahrenheit day, cloudy, with gusts blowing up to 19 miles an hour. Consistently, it's blowing out at 11. The flags going from left field to right field straight across. And looking for a good game today. The Rafters sitting at 7-10. The Woodchucks at 10-6. Woodchucks just half a game behind Madison for first place in the subdivision. And first pitch from Seth Spencer is outside for ball number one as we get underway at 6:35 p.m. for first pitch. Right on time. Always good to see that. And let's the fans be ready to go as the 1-0 is in there for a strike to bring the count 1-1. Ryan Pruitt up at the plate. Left-handed batter. He's going up against the lefty on the mound, so lefty-lefty matchup. Spencer looking to deal. The 1-1 count comes home and misses upstairs to bring it 2-1. Pruitt, he is in right field to start tonight's game, and you look back to last game, Pruitt went 3-for-5. He was one of four players with three or more hits, as that one is called a strike as well to bring it 2-2. And as I mentioned, not a game to remember for the Rafters. They're hoping to wash that one away, as with the rain. 2-2 count. That's in there. Called strike three. Got him looking. Great way to start off the game, and it's a K in the books backwards. One away in the top of the first inning, and Seth Spencer starts it off right. You look at the strikeout numbers in his first game. It wasn't all too many strikeouts for Spencer. He had the four strikeouts over 3 2/3. That's pretty good, but it's not. Didn't really feel as dominant as his next outing where he struck out 5 over 4 innings. New batter at the plate, it's Dylan Schlotterbeck. The righty swings and misses at the first pitch to bring it 0-1. And Schlotterbeck, well, you go back to last game and every single batter except one had at least a hit in yesterday's game. Schlotterbeck was no different. He went 1-for-3 with a walk as this one is skied out towards right field and well foul. Brings it 0-2. And looking at the way that the flags are blowing out here, they're blowing out towards right field, so it's a good day for left-handed hitting, but not quite as much for righties as this pitch misses low to bring it 1-2. Schlotterbeck drawing that walk in yesterday's game. I mean, he showed off the discipline. You look at the season numbers for Schlotterbeck, and he's a guy that has played really the entire season there, and 16 games, batting .283. He's got 16 walks. A walk a game as this one is fouled away to keep it a 1-2 count. Schlotterbeck playing third base today for the Woodchucks. And again, looking back at last game, it feels like everyone's numbers are kind of inflated, but they all were batting well. And especially doing that in the conditions, it's impressive. 1-2 count has popped up. Should reach the stands straight behind home plate. And it bounces off of the roof to keep it a 1-2 count. Schlotterbeck is certainly fighting at the plate here, but Spencer, he knows his zone. I mean, he's attacking the strike zone. That's what you like to see out of Spencer. It's, of course, that was a problem last night. It wasn't necessarily, you know, throughout the entire game, but early on it set the tone as this one's flied out towards right field, running up to it. It is a catch made right at the line by the right fielder for the Rafters tonight, which is Chris Diaz, going back to where he started off the season in right field. Looking at the defensive lineup for the Rafters, behind home plate, it's Nick Adrian with Seth Spencer on the mound. And Adrian, somebody that Ziggy has talked about, especially defensively, getting his feet under him. And it's a guy that I've kind of talked about, taking steps throughout the season as well. Ziggy seeing the same thing. First pitch to Ethan Guerra is called strike number one. Guerra, right-handed hitter. It's a righty-lefty matchup. He's the shortstop from the University of Arizona. Now, they had a good season as this one misses outside and low for ball number one. It's a 1-1 count. Continuing on with the Rafters defensive lineup. In the infield over at first base, it's Madden Acco. Over at second, Mason Onati. At third, Ruiz. And at shortstop, it's Eric Parker. And Parker's going to get to this one right off a hop. Sidearm throw over to first. It's in time. And a 1-2-3 first inning ends on the 6-3 putout. And we are tied at zero as we head to the bottom of the first here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
Well, that's a way to start a game. The pitching, well, a lot different from yesterday's game as the Woodchucks scored at least two runs in all four innings of yesterday's game. And, well, started it off with a shutout inning. Seth Spencer, he's been looking real good early in the season, and he's looked better every single game, hoping to see more than four innings out of him today. And, well, it kind of looks like he might be on track to do so. He went 1-2-3 in that first inning and did so on just 14 pitches. And now the Rafters lineup will get a chance to look at Mason Morello. Morello, the right-handed pitcher for the Woodchucks. He's a guy who comes from New York University, like I mentioned. He's coming off of his junior season and hoping to make his name known as this one is fouled away down that right field line. The leadoff batter, Eric Parker, leadoff for the first time this season as Ziggy tried to switch up the order a little bit in the lineup. I really like it. Eric Parker batting leadoff, Onati behind him. Zacher's been good batting third all season as this pitch misses so far it goes behind Eric Parker without him dodging inside. So a 1-1 count as it rolls to the backstop, and Parker, the right-handed hitter from the University of Georgia, going up against a guy who's had a good start to the season so far. This pitch in there for a strike brings it 1-2. You go back a couple games ago against Green Bay, Alex LePage. He had been off to a phenomenal start to the year for the Rockers. And, well, he got rocked for certain by the Rafters as this one is fouled down the first baseline to bring it 1-2. So the Rafters, they have a good track record at least of ruining good starts to the seasons. Although they had a similar thing happen to their pitcher last night in Kenny Schultz as the 1-2 count is a slow chopper back to the mound. It will be picked up and tossed over to first base for out number one. 1-3 in the books, and it brings up Mason Onati with one away and the bases empty in the bottom of the first. Game tied at zero, and the Rafters looking to be the first on the board here. After they were first to score last game, but that lead did not stay for very long. It was 2-0 Rafters after the top of the first. Bottom of the first, though, three runs came across for the Woodchucks, and Then top of the second, another two runs for the Rafters, so they took the lead back 4-3. But then a 10-run second put the Woodchucks on top as Onati sends this one over to the right side of the infield, picked up at second base, and a quick toss over to first retires Onati on one pitch. 4-3 on the putout, and there's now two away with the bases empty for Ashton Zacher. And yeah, last game, I mean, a 10-run inning is not something you see all too often, to say the least. Rafters hoping not to see the same thing happen today. And I do really think that a big part of that was because of the rain, as this one is sent right back up to second base again. Off one foot, it's a throw over to first in time for out number three. Now that is efficiency right there. Mason Morello, three up, three down. And we hit the top of the second. Still tied at zero here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Econ Electric Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric Inc. now.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Man, I didn't get a chance to finish off the defensive lineup for the Rafters last inning before Seth Spencer worked out of it. So finishing off in the outfield, in left field, it's going to be Noah Malone. I'm looking at the wrong team. It's Gunnar Miro for the Rafters. Gunnar Miro, I didn't get a chance to introduce him. He's active for the first time this season. He's playing left field, the everyday center fielder for UNLV, Nevada, Las Vegas. He's certainly got some high-tier experience, to say the least, in center field. It's Cam Douglas making his return from injury. And in right field, it's Chris Diaz as the first pitch of the inning misses low for ball number one. Aiden Harris at the plate. He's the cleanup batter, and it'll be the 4-5-6 batters due up for the Woodchucks. The 1-0 count misses low and away to bring it 2-0. And a windy day. You can hear it a little bit through our crowd mic here, so I'll turn it down. But that just tells you just how much this wind is kind of blowing towards right field, as the 2-0 misses down low to bring it 3-0. Not the start to the second inning that Seth Spencer was looking for, but the count's not over. 3-0 count. That one is a little high to walk the leadoff man, as Aiden Harris will step on over to first base with nobody out in the top of the second inning. Wausau's offense kind of just waiting to see what Seth Spencer was going to throw out. And you look back to last game, the Woodchucks went down a 1-2 in the first inning. Their first two were retired by Kenny Schultz before they started to kind of see what he was throwing, and from that point on they looked real good as Anthony Quigley steps up to the plate and takes the first pitch for strike number one. Quigley, a right-handed batter, it's a righty-lefty matchup. The runner on first base is Aiden Harris. Quick pickoff attempt over there. No tag applied by Madden Akko over at first. Still tied at zero in the top of the second inning. 0-1 count for Anthony Quigley from the University of South Florida. Enters today batting .333 on the season as this pitch misses high and inside to bring it 1-1. And man, he was phenomenal last night. Part of the reason why they scored so many runs. Quigley 3-for-3 with 5 RBIs. Also had a sacrifice fly. And man, just domination, and he shows that off by popping one towards center field. And if it were a different day, that ball might have gone a different spot, but instead it falls right into the glove of the center fielder Cameron Douglas for out number one. Aiden Harris stays over on first base, but maybe not for long. You look at this Wausau team, and one of their biggest strengths this season has been the stolen bases. And it doesn't matter who it is, everyone can steal, so you really have to watch out. Harris played in his first game yesterday for the Woodchucks, did not steal a base, but that's because they were so full when he got onto the bases. This time he's got nobody ahead of him, one away, and the batter at the plate, Cade Baldridge, takes the first pitch low for ball number one. Baldridge, the second baseman for the Woodchucks, he is batting for the first time today. One away in the top of the second, runner on first base. It's a righty-lefty matchup as this pitch is off the inside of the bat down the third base line and just lands foul as Noah Ruiz, who's playing third base today, he watches that one miss foul. Ruiz has played third base just one time earlier this season, but he's not worried about it. You know, he's always in high spirits, always trying to stay confident. You talk about confidence. Earlier before the game today, he was not even talking about baseball. He said, man, I'm going to beat you in basketball at one point in time. I was trying to trash talk him a little bit. And well, you can see the competitive nature in the guy. Oh, you wouldn't, I'd skunk ya. Well, Ruiz trying out a new position here, similar to the way that he might be trying out a new sport at some point in time with the basketball. But anyways, back to the game of baseball here. A 1-1 count with one away. Top of the second inning, Wausau trying to be the first on the board, and the pitch to Baldridge is fouled back straight into the backstop to bring it 1-2. And Baldridge, he's still looking for that first hit as a Woodchuck. He enters today having played just the one game from yesterday where he went 0-3, but he did score two runs in the game. Also added an RBI, he had a walk and reached on an error. 1-2 count with the runner on first and a pickoff attempt back there. And you're going to see a lot of those in this game, especially because we know how much the Woodchucks like to steal bases. It's going to be constant pickoff attempts to make sure that they don't get those early jumps. And they're still going to steal bases, though. That's the thing, is you know that these guys, even with the pickoff attempts, they're going to be taken off. As this one is fouled back straight towards the press box and brings the count to now 1-2, still a 1-2 count. And that one was just a couple inches from coming into the press box here. That one was right towards me. I was trying. I was ready. Runner on first base, a 1-2 count with the righty at the plate. And Seth Spencer looking to pick up his fifth out recorded of the game, and it's popped up left side of the infield. Should reach the roof and just misses the roof, but it still hits out of play. It hits the netting right towards the left side of the infield. Noah Ruiz was giving it chase, but it was more of Nick Adrian's ball at that point in time. And Nick Adrian, a guy who is pretty good behind the plate. You'll look at him, he's caught four runners stealing this season. Both him and Zacher have caught four runners, and Adrian started off the season a little bit rough in that department. It took him a while to get his first caught stealing, but then he did. And that's one of the things that we were talking about with Ziggy, as this one is barely touched. It's fouled straight back into the netting and keeps it a 1-2 count. So still a 1-2 count for Cade Baldridge, who just keeps fighting up there. And Seth Spencer trying to send one home. And, well, talking a little bit more about Nick Adrian behind the plate, you know, I was saying, hey, you've got four caught stealings. He's like, do I? Man, I guess I just got to get better at the plate. And he was saying, you know, it's frustrating at the plate, but he always feels like he can improve. 1-2 count with one away, and this pitch is called for a strike on the lower inside corner. Strike three, and he goes down in the books backwards. Second strikeout of the game for Seth Spencer. There's two away in the top of the second. Aiden Harris remains on first. And early on would be the go-ahead run as it brings up Noah Malone, who was not in the lineup yesterday. but one of the few differences in the lineup. Malone has played in five games this season for the Woodchuckson. Well, in those five games, batting 308. Not too bad, as the first pitch to him misses inside for ball number one. Malone in left field tonight. He is the seven-hole batter. Has a runner on first with those two outs and a 1-0 count. Right-handed batter. It's a righty-lefty matchup. The 1-0 count coming home. It is on the inside edge, called for strike number one. And you can already tell right now, strike zone a little bit different from last night. You got a different home plate umpire. Today it's Hudson Arnie behind the plate. And that makes a big difference. Yesterday it was Tyler Jetting, as this pitch is fouled away towards the Rafters dugout. And a couple of the guys hanging out over there, they try and reach down and pick up that ball. So Tyler Jetting, he is the third base umpire today, as Caleb Groom is the first base for the Rafters, or for the Northwoods League, I should say. 1-2 count to Noah Malone, and this one is a swing and a miss, but it gets away from Adrian. He'll pick it up, throw one down to first in time for out number three. Third strikeout of the game for Seth Spencer. He's still scoreless through the second inning. Into the bottom of the second we go as the Rafters try and get back to work and take the lead here when we come back on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's get back to the Rafters here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Swing for the fences with Solaris FiberFast Internet. Whether you're watching the Rafters online or going head-to-head in your favorite game, we've got the speed to keep you in the zone. No buffering, no strikeouts, just home run service from your hometown team. Proud sponsor of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball Club. Locally owned, locally invested. Get in the game at Solaris.net.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
The Rafters have a few home games coming up. They've got one more tomorrow before they hit the road, and then they're back home for a few in a row against Traverse City and Madison. So exciting times at Witter Field as the Rafters try and get some more wins in front of the Rafters face full as this one misses outside for ball number one. The leadoff batter for the Rafters, Noah Ruiz. Ruiz, the right-handed batter. It's a righty-righty matchup. This one's hit towards right field down the line. The right fielder running up on it, and he'll make the catch right on the line for out number one in the bottom of the second. Still tied at zero, and Cameron Douglas now getting set up to the plate. The Rafters hoping to be the first on the board here, and Cameron Douglas, the center fielder for the Rafters tonight. He makes his long-awaited return after starting the season earlier, and he looked pretty good, went a little bit cold, and sustained an injury as this one is in there, called for a strike. He's a right-handed batter from Alabama State. 0-1 count to him with the righty on the mound, and this pitch misses low to bring it 1-1. And Douglas, you look back to his last game that he played, and well, he's certainly hoping to take this one forward as that one's a bunt towards the mound, but not far enough as it's picked up behind the plate by Max Solis. The throw over to first is in time for out number two. 2-3 in the books as Well, that one wasn't a bad attempt. Douglas nearly made it there. It just wasn't quite far enough away from the plate. And a lot of times you see the pitcher coming up and grabbing it, or the first baseman, third baseman. In that situation, it was the catcher, and it happens occasionally, but just not quite enough power on it. First pitch home to Matanaco now is called for a strike to bring it 0-1. Acco, the right-handed hitting first baseman for the Rafters. Righty-righty matchup with two away and nobody on in the bottom of the second. This one's hit towards right field. Dropping, diving play. It gets on by the right fielder. Back towards the track. It's picked up by the center fielder. The throw back in. It's not in time. And a stand-up double for Matanaco as he puts himself in scoring position with the first hit of the game for the Rafters. Gunnar Miro now getting his first plate appearance, and he comes into a nice little situation here with the runner on second. Does have two outs, so it's not going to be easy. Would need to pick up a hit, but the shortstop and second baseman pushed a little bit back. They're right on the lip of the outfield grass. So going to need something here towards the outfield as it's fouled back to bring the count 0-1. Rafters and Woodchucks locked in a pitcher's duel so far. Still only the bottom of the second, but both of the guys who are out on the mound have certainly been stepping up as this pitch is a little low for ball number one. And with the way that the strike zone's been called today, I'm a bit surprised that, but Gunnar Miro had the good eye there to take it for a ball. 1-1 count. This pitch misses outside. And again, behind the plate, Max Soli is trying to frame these pitches, but hasn't been getting the calls. And that one was certainly outside. That one was more of a miss